fearing God. You know, it's very basic. It's very foundational. You don't fear God, you're not going to live for Jesus. In fact, the times that you and I find ourselves doing or thinking or whatever, what we're not supposed to be, it's because we lack fear of God. One of the important things God teaches in the Word of God as parents is having a firm hand in instructing and raising our children. The rod of correction, the Bible says. How important it is, and spare not for his crying. Why does God give us that instruction? Does he want children beaten? Well, certainly never to be beaten. But to be issued some corporal punishment, some discipline, to where they respond. So they learn to fear mom and dad. Again, I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm not talking about kids cowering in a corner. Parents ought to be beaten. No, I'm talking about godly instruction. It's wrapped in love, not out of rage, but giving to a child what they need. And again, it's to instill this respect and fear of mom and dad. To the point that, you know, when a child gets about this age or so, there's a lot of years that have transpired since he was one or two, certainly two. You know, you teach a child as they go to reach for this knickknack on the table. A lot of people, they clear everything, you know, up to this high. Anything down this low, nothing can be reached by the child. And, I'm not saying that's wrong. It's certainly going to, you know, protect your knickknacks. But on the other side of things, there are opportunities for instruction. Don't touch. Don't touch. And inevitably, the human nature, the carnal nature, the child's nature is to reach up and touch. And when they do, I mean, you ever do that in the back of your hand? It pinches. Sends a message to the brain. So they're learning that repeatedly, you see. And you know what? They won't reach for that. And in time, by God's design and the Word of God, they respond to the words of mom and dad. No. You don't have to go, no, I told you not that. That's sad when a parent, you see it in the stores every once in a while. Put that back down. And there, the volume goes up. And now the kid has already been trained that volume makes no difference. They just keep on. And they know you're going to give them 2-3 chances. They don't think it through, but it's subconsciously. They're learning that. They learn that mom and dad don't mean what they say the first time they say it or second time or third time. Well, training's not being done properly. And granted, all children are different. In the same household, you can look at one sternly, and they'll go to tears. Another one, man, you don't know how many times you've got to spank that child, and it seems like they're not getting it. You know, so they're all different. We understand that. And so are we with our Heavenly Father. But again, the premise here, the instruction, is that respect, that obedience that comes from fear. Not a cowering fear, but a reverential respect. So that when dad or mom say no, it means something. To where a child responds, how wonderful is that? Their life is so much better as they're growing up. If they never learn that, they never learn respect for authority, they're going to have a hard time in society. And most importantly, they're going to have a hard time honoring and respecting a God they cannot see. So training is very, very important. And the Bible has so much to say about fearing God. How important it is. Do you fear God? You can review your last week, your behaviors, and you can probably answer your question. And if the answer is, I guess I really don't, you see, maybe it's because that explains your actions for the week. Why you did what you did or why you didn't know what you should do. You know, when a parent says, son, take out the trash, it should be, yes, sir. And they take out the trash. It should not be. I tell you, take out the trash. Did you take out the trash? I mean, like 3-4 times? I'm going to. No, that's not the right answer. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And but if there's proper reverence, respect, fear, then it's coupled with behavior. The behavior follows. And so it's for each and every one of us to be that child of God that fears God and wants to please Him out of from the heart, far better to obey God from the heart than it is out of fear of God. But God tells us to fear the Lord. Fear God. It should be part of our lives. And so I want to take some time here and look at, chase a lot of verses. And if you find, you know, we're going through the Bible back and forth and it's a lot, just write down the references. Jot them down and visit them at, you know, when you have more time. Give thought to it. Ask God, open up your eyes to it, to help you to be obedient, to be accepting, to have that reverence and respect for our God. Samuel Johnson said this, "Shame arises from the fear of men. However, conscience arises from the fear of God." There's a big difference, you know. We're not to live in it for a show. We're to be who we are because we love God, we fear God, we put Him in His proper place. God's not like this with you and I. He's not a buddy or a pal. And I know that Jesus portrays in some respects, He's our friend. He's not your buddy. He's the creator of the universe. And so keeping that in mind, we respond differently when we acknowledge that we're talking about God, we're dealing with God, living for God. And our conscience should be pricked. Our behaviors follow that to the glory of God. So a little bit of a definition here. Turn, if you would, to Job 28. Look at several verses that tell us what this fear of God is, what it precipitates. And so, again, we'll be running around here quite a bit, so keep your thumb damp so you can find your pages. In Job 28, and look if you would, easy verse to remember, is verse 28. What does it tell us about the fear of God? The Bible says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding." Fearing God will cause us to depart from evil, but it is defined as wisdom, understanding. You're a smart guy. You're a smart gal if you fear God. And it precipitates, we'll talk about this too, but you know, it precipitates good behavior. In fact, good thinking. See, fearing God. So again, do you fear God? It's wisdom. In fact, go to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. And again, we're going to look at a lot of verses. I don't want you to feel, gee, this is tedious. Take note of what's being said, what God is telling us. It says here in Psalm 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have they all that do His commandments, His praise and endurance." And you'll see that obedience, it just comes together with the fear of the Lord. But it says it's the beginning of wisdom. So it is wisdom, it is understanding, but it's the beginning, it's where you start. It's foundational. No fear, no listening. No obedience. And the same thing again with our children. The comparison can be made. You see, this is on a human level. But our spiritual level with our God, the application applies. So it's wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 15. And notice, if you would, verse 33. "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." And fearing God puts us in our place, a proper space, a place of humility before God, honoring God. And again, the application, we'll keep using that illustration, I'm sure, a lot with the parent and the child. But there should be an honor and respect from young person to adult to parent. And yes, it's to all adults. And we train our children to be respectful to all adults, you know, to older adults. How sad it is that young people, little ones, would laugh at old people because of their difficulties, perhaps, you know. They were never taught respect, and they had no fear. Fear is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of instruction. Do you fear God? Your whole Christian attitude, life, perspective in the Word of God, there's no fear of God. There's no beginning. Oh, we may visit it and acknowledge it mentally at times, follow some behavior. But if there's no honest to goodness, fear of God, fear of God should drop us to our knees in prayer, if we physically can. It's not, you know, should I, you know, I suppose I should. And I mean, that's all in your head. It's, you're living in your own little bubble, your own little world, fearing God. That's all right. It's all about Him. As I drop to my knees in humility, a humble attitude, because He's God and I'm not. Fear God. It'll give you wisdom. By the way, as we'll see, it'll give you happiness and peace too. This idea of being subservient or obedient to someone else, God or otherwise, may seem like it's a takes too much away from me and my pride, takes away from self. The fact is, in honoring and respecting and loving, fearing our God, comes a great deal of strength, stability, and security in your life. And the same applies to our children. We build our children. It's not that they become robots because of good, proper, biblical instruction. They don't become robots. They are building into a man and woman of character because they fear God, fear mom and dad. They fear God. And that respect carries over into adulthood. It's a shame how so many adults don't respect their moms and dads and treat them on the same level like them. There should be that friendship because now we're on a different plane. You're not the instructor anymore, per se, though available for counsel, advice, wisdom, due to experience and all. But there's always that respect that's seen. God's design. Wisdom, it's the beginning. If you don't have any fear of God, there'll be no wisdom in God's eyes. No fear of mom and dad, I'm telling you, there's no growth going on. There's not going to be wisdom. There's not going to be wise. There's not going to be decision making. There's not going to be understanding of this person that's growing into adulthood. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 8. Fear of God means seeking to please God and having His perspective on things. And in verse 13, Proverbs 8, we see that we're supposed to hate evil. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And it comes a little list here, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth. Fearing God, or to take on that perspective that God hates evil. He hates pride. It's wicked. None of us likes to see pride in others. In fact, we're turned off. The one that walks around with an air or speaks like he's a little bit above you or anyone else, there's no desire to be near them, to like them. You know? Pride is ugly. We acknowledge that. Sometimes the one who is proud doesn't see it in themselves. God help us, see? But again, fearing God keeps us in a proper perspective, in a proper place, a place of humility. to humble ourselves before people. Not to walk around with this attitude like, well, you're really blessed to be able to talk to me today. How welcoming that is. Don't you like to just, good morning. God hates pride. He hates evil. He hates wickedness. And if we're really fearing God, we're going to hate wickedness. We're going to hate evil. And the Bible says to, with the rod, drive it from foolishness from the child, the heart of a child. Right? Drive it from them. Why? Because that has no place in them growing up. It's going to be a great detriment to them. So it's to hate evil. But there's good things to it, very good things to it. Proverbs 14, verse 27. It's a fountain of life, the Bible says. 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. There's great protection built in when you fear God. There's great protections built into a young person's life when they fear mom and dad, when there's a respect and therefore obedience. Mom and dad says, don't go there. Mom and dad says, I don't want you associating with him or her. There's wisdom behind that. And the fear of mom and dad provokes or precipitates obedience. There may be great disappointment. Well, he's my friend. You and I may have said that to our parents. He's my friend. I don't want you with them anymore. The hard thing today is technology. And those relationships can continue and be fostered unbeknownst to mom and dad. We that have raised our children need to pray for our children as they raise their children for wisdom. It's a different day. And the devil, as good as a tool as it is, the devil always will use the tool, the same tool, in a bad way. It's a fountain of life. It'll protect your life. I suppose that every one of us knows of kids that when we were teens and they ended up making some wrong choices and lost their lives. And I'm not saying necessarily that it would trace back to mom and dad, but this idea of fearing them and fearing God, there's protections built in. I use the example of the teenager and where, you know, they would go, or mom and dad knows, sees lack of character or something in some other teenage friend and comes to a decision. It's not, you know, happenstance. I don't want you associating with him anymore. There's a reason behind it. There's protection. I don't want you to adopt his ways, his attitudes, his perspectives. They're detectable, generally. And the same thing for a little person, you know. They're in the front yard and the ball goes rolling out into the street. And they go running after it. Stop! Does that mean anything? Has that been subconsciously fortified to where the kid, you know, as opposed to, well, they always say stop. You know, they're not thinking that through, but they just run out there into the street. Here comes a car. There's protections built in to fearing mom and dad, to obedience. The protections are built into you for you and I. It doesn't stop with childhood. Fear the Lord. Fear God. It's a fountain of life. It provides life. It'll keep you from death and save you from so many hardships. And Proverbs 15, verse 16, tells us of its value. All the days of the afflicted, that's not it. Let me see. Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. It's better than great treasure. You may have some parents that brag about their rich kids. Well, he's a doctor, and he's an, oh, yeah, well, yeah, he's. Yeah, tell me about his character. Does he fear God? Because that'll take care of everything else, whether rich or not. It is better than great treasure to fear God. And yet the world's so many, and maybe before you got saved as an adult, that was part of your value system, your goals, was to make a lot of money. You know, have a big house, have several vehicles, a lot of toys. There's nothing wrong with those things. But if that's the goal of life, you're missing out. Far better it is to fear God, to have wisdom, to have instruction. Go to Psalm 19. It's to be a lasting thing, an enduring thing, a lasting work in your life. In Psalm 19, verse 9, says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. So it has lasting effects. And surely in heaven, saved by the grace of God, not our behaviors or our anything that we've done, no one earns heaven, but by faith in Christ or in heaven, there'll be fear of God there. It's not like it all ends and he becomes our buddy. No, we'll know him as he is. We'll have a great understanding. And we won't have all the attitudes of the flesh, the carnal nature, and all that hindering us. There'll be complete devotion and love and honoring God forever and ever and ever. But its effects also in fearing God last in this lifetime. Again, the comparison of the kids with training to fear mom and dad, to fear authority. You know, they're the ones that respect and have the authority of the policeman or the judge. Because they learned it at home. And it'll carry on through their life. It's enduring. Its value doesn't weaken. It increases. Oh, to instill in our children and in our grandchildren. You know. Wonderful. I think it's great when a parent, you know, something sassy or whatever comes out of their child's mouth towards grandparent. Oh, they jump right on it. Why? To teach them honor and respect. Oh, no. That's Mimio's chair. Get up. Or any adult comes in a room. Get up, give them the seat. Little people go sit on the floor if there's no chairs. What is that all about? Respect. And it's wisdom. And it's fear of mom and dad. It's a respect for mom and dad. They're teaching, they're instructing. You don't own the chair. You're not better than them. You're not above them that you should get the chair. And to see some others, their attitudes, little people's, well, why can't I sit here? Why does it? You know what I'm saying? It's taught, but as they learn it, it endures, lasts a lifetime. And they, in turn, teach their children. And the beginning of that, it's all the foundation of that is a fear, a respect. Again, not a cowering in fear like in the dark in the woods. It's that honor, that respect. And it's all through the Bible. I mean, how many verses have we looked at already? The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. Why should that recur so many times? Is not God trying to make a point how important it is and how good that it is? It's a fountain of life, better than great treasure. It's a lasting work. It involves, connected with righteousness, Psalm 52. In Psalm 52, We'll look at the first six verses. And look at his connection with righteousness. Now, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? Oh, well, that guy's full of pride, right? Not mighty in God's eyes. He's mighty in his own sight. He's always involved in whatever, mischief, pleasures, careless about what God's thoughts are. The goodness of God endureth continually. The tongue, thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. See the contrast. Selah, thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. You know, he can do that. The righteous, again, the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. So there's a perspective. The righteous has. There's one thing. Siding with God, honoring God, respecting God, fear of God is connected with righteousness, behavior, and attitudes. No fear of God. No respect for God or his commandments or his ways. There's trouble coming. And so often it's brought, we bring it in our own lives when we don't respect God, we don't fear God. Righteousness connected with it. Required, now look at Ephesians 5. I know we've been in the Old Testament. But, I mean, there's all kinds of New Testament as well, for sure. But notice the connection with obedience, with submission. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another, and this is the prelude to the instruction Paul gives to the believers at Ephesus regarding relationships in the home, you know, husband and wife, then parent with children, you see. And it starts off with 21. It says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. How essential that is. It's foundational. Then he goes, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Speaks to the wife. 23, for the husband is the head of the house. Household. 25, husbands, love your wives. Instruction for the marriage relationship. And then with children, as it continues and goes into chapter 6. What's to start with? What's foundational? This fear of God. 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Do you fear God? By the way, it'll enhance your relationships. If you fear God, see, God becomes like this when you fear God, and you become lower. There's a sense of humility. Well, that's where you and I need to be, because it affects all our relationships. If there's pride, it affects relationships in a negative way. But there's humility, there's humbleness, there's respect. Showing respect to teenagers, very important. They're going through a time in their life when they're seeking independence, they're maturing. They're seeking some stability, strength in themselves, in God, but some confidence, some self-esteem. Not talking about pride, to be built up. They're seeking, you see. How wicked is it when adults have to watch, look at teenagers with scowls and stern faces and treat them like they're less than. No, they are in their stage of life, just as valuable and just as valuable in the sight of God. You want to help your teenager? Smile at him. Our church, it shouldn't be like this to all the teens. And I'm not saying that we are. But there should be smiles, some encouragement. Good to see you today. How's school? You like school? I mean, some engaging. Humble yourself, you say. You're not up here and they're down here. Fear of God brings that humility, and that interaction with others is so much better, because we give value and respect to everybody, even little people. God's word is so true. Submission, submitting one to another, and to plain obedience. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, speaks to servants. in truth before God, we all are. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Fearing God. I'm not a slave. I'm not a particular servant. I serve our congregation, you see. But whatever we do, we're to do it in the fear of God, fearing God. Because indeed, how I treat everyone else is a reflection on my attitude towards God. No fear of God, I begin to elevate self, ego. That's part of the Adamic nature. We want to, ego, pride, we want to lift ourselves up. But obedience goes hand in hand with fearing God. Child, fearing dad and mom. How essential, how foundational. It is the opposite of high-mindedness. Romans 11. Romans 11. Hey, you know, we haven't gone to the service and preached and everything, but if we walked away today with just that thought on our mind, we'd be better off. We'd be better equipped for the week ahead for life. Fearing God. Romans 11, verse 20. Well, because of that, of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Faith, of course, key. But it says this, be not high-minded, but fear. In other words, don't be full of pride, but be humble, you see. And again, the foundation of that attitude, that perspective, comes from a fear of God. That healthy fear of God, I'm his servant. I'm his. And as such, I'm a servant all. Isn't that what Paul said? He's a servant to all of all men. You know? Considered himself the chiefest of sinners. It's a spirit of humility. That's not like I'm the great Paul, the apostle, one called out of due time. I'm special. God gave me special revelation. You know? No, that wasn't because he feared God. And therefore, we see it in his character. See? And would to God that people would see that in our character. There's a spirit of humility, that there's a humbleness, and it's rooted. Its foundation is in fearing God. How we treat people. Opposite of high-mindedness. So, let's move on now. I mean, kind of somewhat defined. And some parameters regarding the fear of God. And yes, this lesson is going to continue to next week or other weeks. What's God's attitude towards the fear of God? What's his perspective on it? Okay, and it should be that somewhat mirrored by a parent with their children, you see. Always keeping that helpful illustration in mind. He commands it and requires it. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Now, we've read many places where to fear God, fear God, fear God. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. Look what it says here in Deuteronomy 10, in verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? So this is a requirement, a commandment. But to fear the Lord, thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's a requirement, see? That isn't just to Israel. Specifically in this context it is, but it applies to all of God's children. He requires it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. What a great verse this is. Sounds Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, if that's helpful. And go to the last chapter. It's after all of what Solomon is led to say here. And is penned down. He wraps it up in these last couple of verses. And notice verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You know what he's saying? Let me summarize. I mean, it all comes down to this. Fear God. And keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. God is saying that to you and I. God requires it. It is a commandment. And the parent who follows the word of God, not only by example, but will apply the word of God in his relationship with his children. You must bring your children into submission and fear, respect, and obedience if they're going to grow and mature and become godly. This is the whole conclusion. It's wrapped up here. Conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. You don't fear God, you won't keep his commandments. How important is that verse? You know, God's perspective is he requires it, he commands it, but he takes pleasure in those that do. Deuteronomy 5. Back to Deuteronomy. Wearing out your thumb. And Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. The Bible says, oh, that there were such an heart in them. Go back to 28. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them. So now God is talking through Moses, and Moses is relaying the message of God's heart, his desire regarding their fearing of God, their obedience. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. God is pleased, takes pleasure, looking to bless his children that obey, that fear him, that respect and honor their God. And it's not the same with you and I's parents. When there's obedience without, oh, no, all this complaining, I don't want to take the trash out now, but rather, yes, sir. Honey, do the dishes for your mother. Yes, sir. Great delight in that. Even when they're little, when they obey. I mean, you just want to give them ice cream. Give them a balloon. You take delight in their obedience. But it doesn't come naturally. The fear of mom and dad, the fear of the Lord, it overrides our carnal nature that the devil wants to fuel. But when we fear God, everything else falls into place. What we do, even our thoughts are guided, and it pleases him. And he wants to give you an ice cream cone. He's delighted. We'll continue next week. Father, thank you for the word of God. Help us now, even this week, be mindful of this thought of the fear of the Lord and all its goodness, all its wonderfulness. And may we be helped to apply it to our lives, to our children, our grandchildren. And may you ultimately receive great glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.